Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
Since I've been calling, I haven't written a lyric. I mean, why should I when I can call upon spirits with rhythms and flows that dance like Africans who slaved on rubber plantations in the Belgian Congo, whose souls blaze more brilliant than Leopold's, and even tonight as new graves grow cold and chlorofluorocarbons warm up the globe, they live like that deep-ass John Carpenter flick. I mean, can we agree that the Orisha still permeates Santeria? Can we agree that Vordone has made itself at home in the Catholic Church? And if so, then when you see me amongst the leaves, don't think that I'm praying to the trees. I am praying through the trees, just like this poetry is now playing through me. I am a vessel, but unlike the good ship Jesus, I float in a direction in which the actual Son of Man teaches. See, death is like a prison full of souls that had to surrender. But the inmates can do things for you on the outside if you help to propagate their agenda. And tree roots, constellations, rivers, and streams, these are the evidence of things not seen. Think the Haitian Revolution was just Toussaint and Dessalines? No, no, that was the evidence of things not seen. They say superstition is the name that the ignorant give to their ignorance. And there must be a lot of superstition going around, because cash has a spiritual significance with pyramids and acacia trees and signs and symbols of deities taken from our Kibbalah libraries and now permanently stored in the Vatican. And who am I? I be your operator, patching you into the infinite. If sex was death, we would be infinite, yet never reaching a climax, counting millenniums like days, intertwining my destiny with the stars like runaway slaves. You can trace my existence through drawings on caves, yet we submit to the same God. My job's to make you conscious of your subconscious, bring you to a new transdance every time your mind gets aligned with parallel galaxies that the Pharisees could barely see. Prepared to be taken to your ultimate destiny, where your test will be to call me.
Now, this is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things. And I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it, and so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint.
Representative Hank Johnson is real. He is Georgia's 4th Congressional District. This was from C-SPAN last week. And of course he believes global warming's real. Of course he thinks. And he believes that the island of Guam is floating in the Pacific Ocean, and that it's going to tump over if too many Marines are based there. Because he sees the base on one side of the island, and he knows a boat will tump over if too many people get on the side of a boat. And so he's worried that this is going to then tump over. And that's the type of people we're arguing with. When I talk to the general public, you think he's uniquely ignorant, uniquely stupid? No, he's par for the course. I talk to adults that don't even really understand we're a planet, that don't even, I'm not joking, who don't even understand we're orbiting a sun, who don't understand. See, the government is pitching everything at these type of individuals. That's why they're moving ahead with tyranny. Because you've got people that literally have the mental capacity of about a six-year-old. And it's the frequency pollution, the bad food, the lack of education, all the television watching. It's the being dumbed down. It's the mercury in the shots. It's the fluoride in the water. It's the GMO crops. We've gone from 1 in 20-something thousand 20 years ago with autism. Now it's 1 in 68. The news says 1 in 105. There's just people that are mentally retarded everywhere. I talk to business people. I talk to well-to-do yuppies. They're complete idiots. But they know all about their local football team. They get that right. And their heads are so full of just mindless baloney that they believe that the countries are going to capsize if there's too many people. They believe that man is causing earthquakes. They believe that if we, and maybe Representative Hank Johnson can come up with a tax to stop, maybe if we pay him a tax or Al Gore some money, maybe that will cause islands from capsizing. What do you think, guys? Maybe if we shut down a few factories, put some more taxes on you, maybe they'll save us then? Because, hey, the science is settled, according to Representative Hank Johnson, that islands float. These rock islands are floating on top of the water. I guess he thinks there's an anchor underneath the island that keeps it from blowing around. This is the type of morons that believe man-made global warming and believe carbon dioxide's a deadly poison. Did you know that, what is it, more than 70% of the U.S. population lives on our coastlines in Florida and the East Coast and in Texas and on the West Coast? That could cause the continent to capsize or maybe break off in two because all the weight is on the edges of the country. Maybe it's going to, maybe that's what the Mississippi River is. Maybe the Mississippi River was formed in the middle of the country because everybody lives on the edges of the country, and maybe the country's starting to break in two, and it'll capsize in two like a sailboat breaking. Oh, Al Gore will come on TV. Pay me more taxes fast. The country's going to capsize. I'm going to save you.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
As long as you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to fear.
You guys grapple with how to try him and in what venue. I wondered, would you guys consider not trying KSM at all, but instead just holding him indefinitely as an enemy combatant, or would you rule that out?
Well, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has been held for far too long without the people that he killed getting some justice for his actions. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in one form or another, will have to answer for his crimes, and he, I believe, will be guilty and have to pay the punishment for those crimes, which my guess is will be execution.
So you will insist on a trial in some form?
Well, again, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is a terrorist thug who can and will be brought to justice because the people that he killed outside of Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon, in New York City, and quite frankly, countless around the world, they deserve justice.
Can he be brought to justice without a trial?
He will be, in some form or another, either a military commission or in a federal court.
President again questioning what was behind the September 11th attacks. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad now calling the official story behind 9/11, quote, a big lie, a big lie.
A big lie.
He says the attacks were an intelligence scenario designed to provide an excuse for the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. This, as Iran reports, it has launched a new production line of highly accurate short-range cruise missiles capable of evading radar.
With us now is Mr. Matera, the author of the book, Obama Zombies. Now, you made one big mistake in that interview. Do you know what it is?
What is it, sir?
Do you know? You know what it is. What was your big mistake?
Senator Smalley was upset at me because...
Senator Smalley.
He was upset at me because...
No,
He's not asked these questions by members of the mainstream media.
I don't care whether he's upset. I call him Stuart Smalley all the time. But you were interviewing him as a journalist, right? That's what you were doing. Not as just a guy on the street, you were trying to get information out of him.
Well, a journalist and a concerned citizen who
was
affected by
Jason,
his policies.
Your goal was to try to get information, right?
Sure.
You wanted him to answer the question.
Sure.
The mistake you made was you were disrespectful to him when you called him Senator Smalley, and you gave him a reason to blow you off.
Well, Al Franken is no one to be lecturing us about manners, and
that's
quite
true,
frankly,
but remember,
quite frankly,
bad behavior doesn't justify other bad behavior.
I'm
sorry. Police in Prairie Village are on the scene of a shooting involving one of their own. KCTV5's Liz Zamora is live for us with details. Liz?
Well, this started out as a check on a welfare call for a 47-year-old woman that lives here at these apartments in Prairie Village. Now, this morning they say that the woman was making threatening statements and barricaded her door. About 9:45, they decided to bring out the tactical team. Police say that she had threatened the tactical team with a weapon, and they were forced to shoot her.
We were trying to help her out and get her the help that she needed this morning, and unfortunately, it's not the way we wanted it to turn out.
And the investigation continues into this incident. Now, the officer involved will be put on administrative leave. That is standard procedure, and we'll get more information as soon as it's available. Reporting live in Prairie Village.
Remember, President Obama brought his campaign manager back into the White House to sell this health care deal. And there's been a continuing mantra through the conclusion of trying to pass health care. Remember when Speaker Pelosi walked arm in arm in a civil rights march across Independence Avenue from the House buildings over to the Capitol? In 3 years, I have never seen Nancy Pelosi cross the street the way that you saw in that picture. They deliberately went through that crowd, perhaps to try and incite something. There were so many cameras there, Sean, no one recorded any racial motivation. And everything we've heard in the last week has had a racial tinge coming out of the Democrats' mouth, and there hasn't been any racial activity.
Moved into the realm of gangster government. We have gangster government.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Let's begin tonight with a different cable network, a news network, actually. It used to be one of the giants in the industry. CNN has fallen on tough times of late, with the hosts of their most popular shows losing almost half of their viewers over the last year. I mean, that's, you know, from 10 to 5. I don't understand why they can't connect with viewers. Here's what they could do. They could go partisan, like the brethren at MSNBC or Fox, get themselves a Glenn Olberbeck or a Sean Hannadow. They could pursue a network-wide dogmatic news opinion effort, or CNN could exercise some editorial authority and integrity, start breaking apart the entire right-left politico-journalist symbiotic paradigm, lead a new generation of truth seekers on an anti-talking point jihad, or they could just throw random bloggers into a Hokta box and see what sticks. I guess that explains their new slogan. CNN, we have no idea what the f*** we are doing.
It's an absurd insinuation.
I dare you to put this on television. I want to say hi to the little blue blood Astor Anderson Cooper, and I want to say hi, he admittedly was CIA, and I want to ask Anderson, hey, cover why CNN and BBC reported Building 7 fell 25 minutes before it fell with total precision. Oh, you guys announced that little script a little early, didn't you? Oh, yeah, that little Reuters script that MI6 sent on over. Look, the truth's out there, and everybody needs to choose a side. Are you going to be on the side of the murdering military-industrial complex, or are you going to be on the side of the American people? If the government of this country lied to kill over 1 million Iraqis with fake WMDs, do any of us think that any of our lives mean a rat's behind to this establishment? This is real tyranny. We're in trouble. I'm sounding the alarm, just like 1775, 1776. If the Redcoats come marching down the road and open fire on the American people, it's their right to defend themselves. But I'm not calling for any offensive actions. I'm calling, like Malcolm X did, for people to be able to protect themselves in this country from scum at CNN. Good job killing those Iraqis with your lies. You take care.
Conspiracy theories.
Now we've moved into the realm of gangster government. We have gangster government.
On the radar intensively for the last year and a half, the FBI had actually penetrated this group and had the capability to shut it down at will, and the decision was made to do that this past weekend because group members were planning in about 3 weeks to try to do something, and the FBI didn't want to try to get it out of control and feared that there might be some members of the general public who could be affected. There are three people. It's all based in southern Michigan. It's called, I'm not even sure how you pronounce it, Hutterie. H-U-T-A-R-E-E, in any event, it appears to be, as far as we can tell, a made-up word. We've checked with religious scholars. They're they're not familiar with the word, but they do say on their website that they believe there would be an Antichrist and that they had to be prepared to defend themselves. And what federal agents say here is that they were particularly obsessed with local, state, and federal police, whom they called the Brotherhood, believed they were the enemy, and so they wanted to try to attack a single law enforcement officer, hoping that that would draw others to the scene and that they would then in turn be attacked. And it was the hope of this group, according to federal court documents, that this would serve as a catalyst for a more widespread uprising. The government says the leader of this group is a 45-year-old Southern Michigan man named David Brian Stone. This is a look at their website, and they have several videos on this site, and if you click on these various locations, Huttery.com, you'll see the group's philosophy spelled out in a couple of places. And you'll also see, if you scroll down there just a little bit, see where it says training April 24th? That is apparently the date that the government believed that they were going to try to do something. Curious here that they had planned to do something in April. April is an important month for many militia groups because that's the anniversary of the federal attack on Waco.
Hello, America. It's your wake-up call from the Ohio Militia. Who else would you expect? Listen, this is an AR-15, as you can see. It's not an airsoft, it's just one of these, as a lot of people don't realize, at your local gun store, okay? Semi-auto, of course, because full auto is illegal, unless you have a Class 3 license. So, ask yourself, why do you not have one of these? You think everything's gonna be okay forever? Do you think that, America could never be invaded by another country? Do you think that perhaps our country is so much better than perhaps what the Nazis were trying to do? Well, we all know what happened to the Nazis.
And there's a Sudanese saying that goes, "Wreak havoc upon your fellow man, but love and protect Mother Earth."
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all of funny. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
To profit.
A big lie.
Here come the butchers to cut you into profit.
What was your big mistake?
Capsize.
gangster government.
Me. Holding him indefinitely.
Havoc.
Jump over.
To understand what is happening. And in my humble opinion, ideology is only going to get in your way. Nobody understands what is happening. Not Buddhists, not Christians, not government scientists, not, you know, no one understands what is happening. So forget ideology. They betray, they limit, they lead astray. Just deal with the raw data and trust yourself. Nobody is smarter than you are. And what if they are? What good is their understanding doing you? The people who walk around saying, well, I don't understand quantum physics, but somewhere somebody understands it. That's not a very helpful attitude toward preserving the insights of quantum physics. Inform yourself. What does inform yourself mean? It means A, transcend and mistrust ideology. Go for direct experience. What do you think when you face the waterfall? What do you think when you have sex? What do you think when you take psilocybin? Everything else is unconfirmable rumor, useless, probably lies. So liberate yourself from the illusion of culture. Take responsibility for what you think and what you do.
Security, officer is not allowed to touch your monkey.
Today we are exploring the origins of Easter. Is Easter Christian or pagan? Many people believe that Easter is a Christian holiday based on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, the religious festival called Easter long predates the Christian era and is found in cultures worldwide, both Christian and non. In reality, then, Easter does not represent the historical crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the gospel tale reflects the annual crossification of the sun through the vernal equinox, or spring, at which time the sun is resurrected as the day begins to become longer than the night. Rather than being a Christian holiday, Easter celebrations date back into remotest antiquity and are found around the world, as the blossoming of spring did not escape the notice of the ancients, who revered this life-renewing time of the year when winter had passed and the sun was born again. The pagan Easter is also the Passover, and Jesus Christ represents not only the sun, but also the Passover lamb, ritually sacrificed every year by a number of cultures, including the Egyptians, possibly as early as 4,000 years ago. Easter is Pesach in Hebrew, Pascha in Greek, Pakhons in Latin, and Pakhonsu in Egyptian, Khonsu being an epithet for the sun god Horus. In Anglo-Saxon, Easter, or Estra, is the goddess of the dawn, corresponding to Ishtar, Astarte, Ashtoreth, and Isis. The word Easter shares the same root with east and eastern, the direction of the rising sun. The principal Mexican solar festival was held at the vernal equinox, i.e., Easter, when sacrifices were made to sustain the sun. In India, the vernal equinox festival is called Holi and is especially sacred to the god Krishna. The Syrian sun and fertility god Attis was annually hung on a tree, dying and rising on March 24th and 25th, an Easter celebration that occurred at Rome as well. The March dates were later applied to the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. Thus, says Sir James George Fraser, the tradition which placed the death of Christ on the 25th of March was ancient and deeply rooted. It is all the more remarkable because astronomical considerations prove that it can have had no historical foundation. This coincidence between the deaths and resurrections of Christ and the older Attis was not lost on early Christians, whom it distressed mightily. In their attempts at explaining the existence of these pre-Christian motifs, early Christian apologists claimed the devil had gotten there first.
Are y'all kiddians?
The rites of the crucified Adonis, another dying and rising savior god, were also celebrated in Syria at Easter time. As Fraser states, quote, when we reflect how often the church has skillfully contrived to plant the seeds of the new faith on the old stock of paganism, we may surmise that the Easter celebration of the dead and risen Christ was grafted upon a similar celebration of the dead and risen Adonis, which, as we have seen reason to believe, was celebrated in Syria at the same season. End quote. The salvific death and resurrection at Easter of the god, the initiation as remover of sin, and the notion of becoming born again are all ages-old pagan motifs, or mysteries, rehashed in the later Christianity. The all-important death and resurrection motif is exemplified in the Parisian Magical Papyrus, a pagan text ostensibly unaffected by Christianity. This pagan text reads, quote, Lord, being born again, I perish, in that I am being exalted, and having been exalted, I die. From a life-giving birth, being born into death, I was thus freed, and go the way which thou hast founded, as thou hast ordained and hast made the mystery. End quote. In the gospel tale, there are two dates for the crucifixion, the 14th and the 15th of the month of Nisan, and within Christianity, the date for Easter was debated for centuries. There continue to be two dates for Easter, the Western Catholic and Eastern Orthodox, thus demonstrating that this holiday is not the historical date of the actual crucifixion of a particular man. The dates are, in fact, astronomical, astrological, and astrotheological. In explaining this roving date, one distinguished churchman, as Catholic Church historian Eusebius called him, Anatolius by name, revealed the meaning of Easter and of Christ, as well as the fact that astrology was a known and respected science used in Christianity. Said Anatolius, quote, "On this day, March 22nd, the sun is found not only to have reached the first sign of the zodiac, but to be already passing through the fourth day within it. This sign is generally known as the first of the 12, the equinoctial sign, the beginning of months, head of the cycle, and start of the planetary course." Anatolius continues, quote, "Aristobulus adds that it is necessary at the Passover festival that not only the sun but the moon as well should be passing through an equinoctial sign. There are two of these signs, one in spring, one in autumn, diametrically opposed to each other." End quote.
Are y'all kiddings?
In establishing the Paschal festival, Church Father Anatolius thus based his calculations on the positions of the sun and moon during the vernal equinox. The need to time the Easter celebration, or resurrection, to coincide with the vernal equinox demonstrates that Christ is not an historical personage, but the sun. This fact of Easter being the resurrection of the sun, S-U-N, has been well known for centuries, just as the Savior's birth at the winter solstice has been recognized as another solar motif. Another obvious clue as to Christ's nature is the fact that the Lord's Day is Sunday. Concerning Easter, in his letter 1 for 329, Bishop of Alexandria, Athanasius, circa 293 to 373, remarks, quote, "Again, the Sun of Righteousness, causing his divine beams to rest upon us, proclaims beforehand the time of the feast, in which, obeying him, we ought to celebrate it." Unquote. Christ is thus the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, with divine beams. The Easter calculations were recomputed in the 7th century by the Christian authors of the Paschal Chronicle, or Alexandria Chronicle, which seeks to establish a Christian chronology from creation to the year 628. The Paschal Chronicle determines the proper date for Easter as March 21st, and the date of Christ's resurrection as March 25th, or midnight, March 24th, 3 days after the beginning of the equinox. These dates are precisely those of the sun at the vernal equinox, when day and night are the same length, and the sun was said to be hung on a cross. Thus, the sun is resurrected 3 days after it is crossified, or crucified. In his various calculations, the Chronicle author discusses solar and lunar cycles, including the 19-year lunar cycle, by which he reckons the crucifixion and resurrection, concluding, quote, "This is consistent with the prior determinations of reputable men in the calculation of the heavenly bodies," unquote. Based on all that we know, it is evident that the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ are founded upon astrotheology, and that Easter is of pagan origin.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note, they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there? Or where do you get this from, you know? Why those two things, you know? Why not goldfish left Lincoln logs in your sock drawer, you know? And as long as we're making this up, go hog wild, you know? At least a goldfish with a Lincoln log on its back going across your floor to your sock drawer has a miraculous connotation to it. "Mommy, I woke up today and there was a Lincoln log in my sock drawer." That's the story of Jesus. I've read the Bible. I can't find the word bunny or chocolate anywhere in that book. Do y'all have different books of the Bible than I do?
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Open the door now! Why are you...
Go to the door, front door!
Why are you banging on my door? Why are you banging on my door? Why are you banging on my door?
Where's Mr. Baker?
Why are you banging on my door?
I have a warrant for Mr. Baker's arrest.
What does that have to do with me?
Is Mr. Baker in your house?
No, he is not. What does that have to do with me? What are you doing in my house? You are trespassing.
Where's Mr. Baker?
Where's Alan?
Excuse me, but I am the only one here.
Where's Alan?
And what authority do you have to come to my house?
Where is
and
Alan?
And bust on my door.
Man, bust you open the door, Alan? Man.
I do not know where Alan is. He's not here.
Yeah.
What are you doing in my house? Please show me your warrant.
I have a bench warrant.
Where is it?
I don't actually need a bench warrant.
I want to see it.
I'm a bail enforcement agent.
I want to see your warrant.
Ma'am?
I want to see your warrant.
I don't need a warrant.
And I want to see your identification. Here, this is for you.
You guys, we already searched the house?
No.
I want to see your identification.
I'm a deputy sheriff. You're going to go to jail in about a second.
I'm a bail enforcement agent, right there. Identification.
Okay. Show me some identification.
Bail enforcement agent. I am looking for Alan, and I'm also looking for Joseph
Baker. I want to see a warrant. I don't see a warrant.
I don't need a warrant, ma'am, under federal law. I don't need a warrant.
I'm not under federal law.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm a sovereign woman on the land.
This is
I am a free woman.
Yes,
this is private property.
No, it's not. Not when it comes to bail enforcement.
Well, excuse me, but this is my home.
And we're searching it.
This is my private home. I haven't seen a warrant.
Don't need a warrant, ma'am. That's what I keep trying to tell you. Don't need a warrant, ma'am. That's what I keep trying to tell you. Don't need a warrant, ma'am. That's what I keep trying to tell you.